minutes. I wanted to throw, because normally we would have, we would have started real estate beginning of today. We're a little bit ahead. That's unusual. I wanted to throw a little bit, 15 minutes worth. Can you handle it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. 15 minutes worth of what you would see if you ever took a third or fourth year finance course or a graduate level finance course. What? You don't think so? Anybody thinking of going on to state? My son is graduating in 2 weeks. 2 weeks tomorrow, he's graduating from state. He calls state the Soviet Union. He took a class here at Southwestern last summer that he needed for graduation. He didn't want to take it at state. And he, because when he was in high school, I said, well, Joseph, you can come to Southwestern. You know, we could carpool and we got, you could do your first team. He just looked at me. And I thought, okay. Because, you know, there's only one other person in the county of San Diego that has the same last name as me. And that's him. And he's nothing like me in that respect. He's very quiet, very introverted. So everybody would go, are you playing Diana's son? And he's going to go, I'm not going there. No way. But he came here to take a class last summer, and he loved it. He said, you work there? That's a great place. And he called state the Soviet Union. So here we go. Wait a minute. You've heard of present value, right?
Yeah.
We're going to look at net present value. And we talked about internal rate of return. So recall, folks. Recall. Next week we'll take a look at some of the calculations. I have a pre-final which should look very familiar. A fundamental assertion of finance holds that the value of a stock is based upon the present value of its future cash flows. Does this sound familiar? Now, it doesn't have to be dividends, folks. It doesn't have to be stock prices. It could be interest payments. It could be principal repayments. But it also could be rent, or the money that a factory or a bridge or a water project or a nuclear reactor creates, a cash flow, right? So present value is not limited to stocks and bonds. We can calculate the present value of a future stream of income from any source. And you already, the best part is you already know how to do this. You already know how to do it. Now, you know how to do the manual way, and I gave you a spreadsheet. I'm going to give you another one. Spreadsheets make the whole world a whole lot easier. Do you remember the formula? Did we use the formula?
No.
No, we used the tables, right? Using the present value tables, we said dividend 1 times present value 1 for the first year, dividend 2, present value. In this version, the cash flows were dividend, and the price of the stock when we forecast we were ready to sell. But they could be any cash flow. Rent from a rental property, bridge tolls, electricity generation. So if you recall this very first example, right? Does this look familiar? In 2012, we're going to get $2 in dividends. In 2013, $2.20. In 2014 and 2015, $2.30. And then at the end of 2015, Value Line says it's going to be $27 a share. So we did the calculations, and it turned out that the present value was more than what we had to pay for that stream of income. And some of you still have a little bit of trouble figuring out which one's which. You know, if this one's bigger, then that's good. Right? And if that one's bigger, then that's bad. Right? You have a little trouble with that. Is it the other way around? I can't remember. Well, this is called the present value. And we learned how to compute that. Since 2381 is greater than the current market price of $22, then we would consider this a good investment for our required rate of return of 12%. The present value told us what we thought the future stream of income was worth today. And if it were roughly equal to or greater than the current market price, what we had to pay for that future stream of income, then we predicted it was a good investment for our desired required rate of return. Recall that this was very important because as you change the required rate of return, what happened to the calculation? It's a big difference. As you decide how much you want, that's why there's just so many different, you know, prices all over the map when people, I can get 8, I can get 10, I can get 11. So, what is net present value? Well, the net present value takes into account all cash flows, called inflows, and all cash outflows. So how much is coming in? Yes, that's very important to us, but how much is going out? And if net present value is positive, then it's a good investment. If it's negative, then it's not a good investment. You see, all we do is just remember that we had to pay $22 to get the $23.81, and that's negative, that's positive, because if you subtract that, you wind up with, you know, extra $2. Net present value is much more popular when you get to the upper division and graduate level classes. They're not going to talk about the present value. They're going to talk about the net present value. So here we redo the spreadsheet by including the negative cash flow. What's going on? People are coming in and going out. We include the negative cash flow, and we find that when all said and done, we got net present value of $1.60. This thing is worth to us $1.60 today. After we pay the money to buy it, because we've got to come up with $22 to buy it. Does that make sense? Okay. Are you sick and tired of calculating present value using the present value tables?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Good. I have done my job. If there's one thing I want you to be able to do when you walk out of here, and you're going to be able to amaze your friends and influence people because they're going to go, that makes sense. I should buy an investment because of what it can produce for me. Not because it looks pretty hanging on the wall. Right? That's a different issue. Maybe that's the reason I should buy it, but that's not why it's a good investment. That means you know how to calculate and understand what it means to discount a stream of future cash flows, and I've done my job. And it's easier than using the formula with the exponents, isn't it? Yeah. Using the tables. But you also know how to use the easier way, and that's to use this the spreadsheet to calculate this present value. Someday, I don't think it's ever going to happen. We're cutting classes, we're killing things, but I want to add a lab component. I've often said to them, I said, Mark, just give me a 30 laptops. Now you can use tablets. And my son had this at his high school. It was a little cart that you wheeled in, and you passed them out to the students. Yeah, and then at the end, you put them back, and you wheeled it back, and forget it. They figured it was going to disappear. They probably will. This brings us back to internal rate of return. The very popular measure that business people and investors use when measuring the rate of return from a stream of future income. You will also learn how to compute the internal rate of return manually if you go to an upper division or graduate level finance class. I have not done this since 1987, and I don't ever really want to do it again. You know, programs. That's why we have computers. Specifically, the internal rate of return is the desired required rate of return where the net present value equals zero. Huh? That? The internal rate of return is where we find a required rate of return where the thing balances out to zero. Where what we put in is what we get out. And that tells us what we're going to get from the investment. It's easier to show you than it is to explain it. So let's show you. Let's get the spreadsheet. On the website, there's another spreadsheet. Whoops, there's not the spreadsheet. There's the spreadsheet. No, where's the excuse? There it is. So, here's what we did when we calculated. We took the cash flows and we put in the present value multipliers. And then we use the net present value function here. And I haven't taught you how to do this, but it's pretty easy. Net present value. I taught you how to do internal rate of return, right? That's on the next slide. There it is. So there's a function in all spreadsheets called NPV, net present value. So you plug in the cash flows, and you put in the required rate of return. In our case, we wanted 12%, right? And then you highlight the cash flows. And so the computer comes back and calculates 23.80 that quick. Doesn't have to multiply the cash flows times the present value multipliers. It has its own internal function to do that. And then when we put in the cash outflow, remember we had to pay $22 to get this cash flow. We then find that the net present value gives us $1.60. So now when you go to the university, you're going to learn, it's called Newton's method. and mathematics, maybe some of you have done it, you're going to learn how to do this. And what you got to do manually is pick a required rate of return and say, oh, okay, it's too high. It's positive. So let's bump it down and then get a negative one. Or bump it up. We bump it up. 12% is too low. We've got to go higher. And then you get a negative net present value, and you go, okay, you went over. Now you got to go back, and you narrow it down. So what I did is I created a graph of different required rates of return and what happens to the net present value. And you have to do this manually if you don't have a spreadsheet. But who doesn't have a spreadsheet? That's why there's a spreadsheet. That's why there's computers. So you pick 12%, and you go, oh, well, that's too high. Too low. So you go to 16%. Oh, it's now negative. So then you go to 13%. Oh, it's positive. You go to 15%, and you got to zoom in on about 14 point something or other. So that's how you would do it manually. Not much fun, is it? Right. And hopefully your professor's not going to be a masochist, because the internal rate of return does it for us. We put in the negative cash flow and then the positive cash flows, and we say, internal rate of return, here are the cash flows, and I guess it's 12%. Okay, did I put in 12%? Yeah, I did. I guessed it was 12%. And so the spreadsheet came back and said, no, it did that. It checked 12%, oh, it's too low. It checked 16%, oh, it's too high. And it zeroed in. It's called Newton's method. You do it in math class. And it turns out that the net present value is zero at 14.51%, which is what we believe, providing we get those cash flows, this investment is going to return to us. Make sense? Yeah? Okay, good. And watch what happens here. Remember here? 23.82, that's how much we get. If we plug in, where did it go? 14.51%. Bingo! We get back what we put in. We put in $22, we get back $22. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Let's continue. We can do the same thing with any cash flow. What happens when we buy a 10-year bond for $1,000 at 8%? What happens? We're going to get $80 every year. Well, actually, $40 twice a year. And then at the end, we're going to get our $1,000 back. Does that make sense? So we can do the same thing. Now, what if we have to pay more for that bond? What if the bond were $1,000, selling at a premium, $1,120? Then it comes back and says, well, you know, you're not going to get an 8% bond, but you had to pay $1,120. So you're only going to get 6.34%. And remember our yield to maturity approximation that we did, which may be on the final also. You see, which one's more accurate? This one, because it's using the internal rate of return calculation. I'm sorry, can you see that? Okay. And the cool thing about bonds is that the net present value is always zero. What you put into bonds is what you get out. And why is that? What do we call bonds?
Mutual bonds?
No, bonds. James Bond.
James Bond.
Fixed! Bonds are fixed, right? You know what you're going to get. But what happens if we buy real estate? You see, you're going to have, this is on the spreadsheet. Grab it. Use it. You want to buy a duplex? Chula Vista? Here you go. How much is it going to cost you? How much is a duplex right now in Chula Vista? You've seen some for $180,000, but they need $50,000 worth of work, David, okay? Yeah. Wait till you get inside. First thing I do is rip up all the carpet because lots of cats peed on it. But if it's in decent shape, it's going to cost you about $300,000, all right? How much rent is that thing going to throw off? Maybe $24,000, $1,200, $1,100 per unit, $1,000 a unit. So you see that the rent is our stream of cash flow. And we've set it up to increase at 2% a year. Are you with me? See what's going on? So we had to put in $300,000, and then we're getting this stream of income, and at the end of 30 years, you think it's going to be worth $680? No.
I think it would probably be worth more, but I'm just guessing.
That's the problem. You don't know. But what's our internal rate of return? 10%. Would you be happy with 10%? Yeah, and if San Diego returns the way it was, you know, between 1946 and 2007, it'd probably be better than that. And our net present value is positive, so that's a darn good sign, isn't it? Now, what's the problem? What's the problem with this example? Right. We have to keep track of our expenses. Plus, did we really have the $300,000 to put in? No. So the rental income is not all ours, is it? A lot of it's going to the bank. So you have to put in your down payment and then put in your net expenses, your net income after the maintenance, after the property taxes, after the mortgage. A lot of afters. So this is a simplified real estate example. Are you with me? But can you figure out what's going on? Okay, next one. How about a nuclear reactor? This is what they teach you at State because you're going to go out there and be the finance manager for SDG&E or some big corporation. It costs you $1.8 billion. But then it's going to generate $250 million worth, and there's a lot more zeros, that's all. $250 million in electricity, and we maybe should increase it, you know, maybe 1% a year or something like that. But then at the end of 15 years or 50 years or whatever, it's going to cost you $1 billion to shut the damn thing down. Are you with me? You see what's going on? Inflows and outflows. And so this nuclear reactor is worth to us today $44 million, giving us an 8.56 internal rate of return. Cool? Do you like this? But you got to be careful. Part of what you're going to learn when you get to the upper division and graduate is that internal rate of return can give you very bizarre results. Which investment would you rather have? One that you pay $1,000 this year and next year gives you $1,500, or one that gives you $1,000 this year and you have to pay $1,500 next year? Internal rate of return says they're the same. 50% return on your money. Right. It's not right. Exactly. So you have to be careful. Internal rate of return can give you some bizarre results. And that's part of the things you're going to learn about in the graduate level class. Okay, so where are we? Hello? Without a spreadsheet, forget it. And how does a spreadsheet change that we do with calculations? It makes it that much easier. But the tables are not that hard. And it gives you extremely precise results when calculating your rate of return from a stream of future income, which is exactly what I do not want you to rely on. Remember we said everything you've done, except for bonds, but when you do stock calculations, what do you do before you make a purchase? Throw them all away. Just remember that you are buying a future business and maybe you're going to get those cash flows, maybe not. Because unless you're calculating your returning from a very predictable source, such as bonds, precision is your enemy. Never forget that you're predicting the future. And as Mark Twain or Niels Bohr said, I don't know who exactly said it, prediction is difficult, especially about the future. Thank you for your time. So now, you understand, that's what you're going to see at a graduate level class. But you already know how to do it. You already know how to do it all. You just have to be careful. Okay. I want you to go out into the world and do well, folks. Who snuck in late? Victor? And who else? Matthew, Gloria, James? Anthony? Daniel? No, you weren't. Don't lie to me. Daniel, no. Joseph? Ricardo? Sandra? Zelene? Bruno? Joseph? David? Rangel? Jimmy? Roman? Any questions? Any thoughts? See you next Tuesday, folks. Thank you so much for your indulgence. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Okay, thank you. Right here. Is this Tablewood? Okay, Sarah, how you doing?
Okay.
All right. Glad to be here. Thank you, folks. See you next Tuesday.